Thank you. We're going to have our Bible reading now. It's going to be in two parts. And Ray, the other Ray, is going to bring us the Bible reading. And we're going to be reading from Joshua chapter 2. We're looking at the story of Rahab this morning. And verses 1 to 21. And then chapter 6, verses 22 to 25. But Ray's going to read the first 16 verses to start with. And then we'll have a little break.
So Joshua from chapter 2, the first 16 verses. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who have come to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from." At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, you may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives." The men assured her, "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So they let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now that she said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for three days until they return, and then go on your way."
Thank you, Ray. We get the second part.
Continue from verse 17. If you're following the church Bible. "Then the men said to her, 'This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from that oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Also, there's a, we're reading from 6 as well.
Yeah, chapter 6.
So if you flip over the page in your church Bible to chapter 6, we're reading from 22 to 25. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you very much. Oh, we've got to the message. I'm going through a series with you. It's going to take a long time because we have all sorts of speakers up the front now. Of unlikely Bible heroes. You may remember last time I was with you, I did Ebed Melech. Okay? And I remember saying to you at the time, you don't think you know Ebed Melech, but you do really. He's the one that pulled Jeremiah out of the pit. And today's unlikely Bible hero is Rahab the prostitute. So we're going to look at Rahab the prostitute. And each time I do one of these heroes, I'm going to follow exactly the same format. 4 points. Their tale, so Rahab's tale, Rahab's trouble, Rahab's trust, and Rahab's triumph. So for every hero we look at, there'll be the four headings. And I want to use my imagination and ask you to join me, because the only thing to be absolutely certain of when we look at Rahab is what the Bible says, okay? But sometimes you have to use your imagination to fill in the bits. I don't know if any of you watched The Chosen, wonderful series, and that's what they do. So use your imagination. I've used my imagination this morning for the first part of Rahab's tale. It's just my view on what might have happened. But all we know for certain is what the Bible says. So bear that in mind. And so here we go, Rahab's tale. And before I get into that, I'm going to tell you a story. Any of you that have had children and changed a nappy will identify with this. But when Joel, my grandson, he's 18 now, but when he was 2 or 3, still in nappies but walking, we had to go to mother care. Me and Sue had him for the morning. And so we had to go to mother care. Can't remember what for, but mother care in Romford, it's not there now, is it? It was a big shop, it had 2 floors. And all the goods for sale were downstairs, but up the top they had a play area where you could take your children and your toddlers. And on this particular one, there was a Cowboys and Indians fort up there. And so Sue went and did the shopping and said, "Ray, you take Joel up and play with him." So we go up, we get in the lift, go up. The lift's quite important, actually, bear that in mind. We go up in the lift, go up, and now we're playing. And Joel's having a good time, and me, as with other parents, sort of watching the children all playing together. And gradually, the play area starts to empty. And more and more are going, and there's a sort of smell wafting. And eventually, the only one left is Joel. And the smell was quite intense. And so I thought, I better go and check this out. So I went over, and oh, it was awful. Joel absolutely stunk. And of course, he'd filled his nappy. And I don't know if you're like me, but you feel compelled to have a look to see what is really going on down there. And so I had a look. and it was oozing. That's the best way I could put it. The nappy was not good enough to contain what had come out of Joel's bottom. And so, oh dear, this is awful. So I looked over the balcony because she could look over and see the shop down below. So where's Sue? Because she's got all the nappy changing gear with her. And so I said, oh, come on. Come on, Joel, we've got to go downstairs and find Nanny so you can have your nappy changed. So we'd come up in the lift, and so we went and got in the lift to go down. And so, the doors are closed, and I thought, oh, my giddy aunt. If anybody's going to get in this lift down at the bottom, they're going to have a shock. But fortunately, there wasn't. So now we get out. Where's Nanny? Joel is happy as Larry, by the way. He didn't care less about his nappy being filled with poo. He's chuckling away. And we're looking for Sue, and I won't forget this lady as she came walking towards Joel. She came walking towards Joel, and as she passed, she just looked down and went, phew, and walked on. But anyway, we found Sue, and Sue took charge and went and cleaned Joel up and cleaned his nappy, and all was fine. But that is a picture of Jericho and the land of Canaan. The Bible tells us that their sin had come up before God. It was awful. But they didn't care. They were quite happy living the way they lived. And it was a picture of Jericho. And it's a picture of everyone without Jesus. Just look around the world and see what's going on. And it's a picture of people without Jericho, because it's our sin that causes all the problems in the world. So let's get on to Rahab's tale. So here's the first part, and this is where I've used my imagination. Rahab lived in Jericho, in Canaan. She was a prostitute and an innkeeper. She hadn't planned to be a prostitute, but somehow it's where she ended up. She was the madam now, and her inn was a brothel. She had another little sideline, did quite well out of it. She made linen, kept the flax drying up on the roof. Never imagined it was going to become the hiding place for two spies. But now there are two spies hiding there. She wasn't married, but she had a family. Mother, father, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, and she loved them. Well, travellers used to come and stop at her inn, and they gossiped and they shared stories. She was always intrigued by the story she heard of Israel, that vast nation that wandered around in the desert, over 2 million of them. She heard about their escape from Egypt, how the sea parted, about their battles and how they destroyed Shion and Og, and many other stories of how their God protected them. Just the one God, not like Canaan. We have many gods. She thought, too many. She heard that their God was a holy God who cared about his people, even loved them. Not like the gods of Canaan. They make us sacrifice children to Molech. It made her shudder. She had heard Canaan was under the judgment of Israel's God because of its awful sin. And she could believe it. God was giving Canaan to Israel. That's why he rescued them from Egypt, and now they were coming to invade and occupy Canaan. The whole city knew. Everyone was frightened. All visitors were under suspicion. The king's men were everywhere. She had prayed to the God of Israel. Somehow she sensed he was real. If he protected Israel, perhaps he can save me and my family. What's more, two men had arrived at her inn, strangers, something different about them. They only wanted shelter for starters. They asked questions about the city. She guessed straight away they were spies, and she told them so. But she saw this as a possible way out. Had God heard her prayer? A plan was forming in her mind. She knew there was no hope for Jericho, so she said she would hide them. She told them they wouldn't last 5 minutes if they stayed in Jericho. The king's men were everywhere. They agreed, so she hid the spies on the roof under her flax until night when they could make their escape. Her fears were proved true. The king's men came looking for the spies. Someone had seen the men enter her inn. Yes, two men were here, but I didn't know they were spies. They left at dusk, just before the city gates closed. If you're quick, you'll catch them. The king's men left, and now there was no turning back. She had made her decision to put her faith in the God of Israel and throw herself on the mercy of the spies. And so she ties the scarlet cord in the window, as she had agreed with the spies, the sure sign of safety. Well, that's the bit of me using my imagination. You can use your own. It could have happened like that. But let's look at Rahab's trouble. I can suggest her trouble was this. Her profession, she's always called a prostitute. Whenever Rahab is mentioned, it's Rahab the prostitute. No one sets out to be a prostitute, not even in Jericho. But it's where Rahab ended up. So that's the first reason for her trouble, her profession. The second, her position. She lived in the wall of Jericho, right in the front line. There would be no escape for her when Israel invaded. But she had heard about the one true God. And Rahab came to the conclusion, we don't know how or why, but she came to the conclusion that the God of Israel was the one true God. God was at work in Rahab's life. The Bible does not tell us that she prayed, as I imagined. But I'm just sure she must have. If not, it was a cry from the heart. However she called out, God answered. Romans 10:13 tells us, and actually this appears three times, twice in the Old Testament. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A wonderful promise. For Rahab, hope and salvation came through two spies and a scarlet cord. Who or what brings us to faith in Jesus varies. And if we were to talk to everybody, we'd all have a different story. All the circumstances vary. I remember one person, she came to Jesus, or at least started to think about Jesus, and ended up believing in Jesus just because a Christian went out of their way to give her a lift. And she thought, why did he bother to do that? And from that one simple act, she ended up later on giving her life to Jesus. Circumstances may vary. We all have a different story. But the means of salvation is always the same. The cross and Jesus shed blood. The Bible tells us that when it comes to sin, everyone is in exactly the same position as Rahab was, in a hopeless situation, in a place without hope. The world has no remedy for sin. Isaiah 59:2 says, your sins have separated you from God. What separates us from God? Just our sin. Only sin. But the good news is, no matter what our circumstances, where we find ourselves, God can rescue us. The first verse in Isaiah 51:9 is this: the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. So I don't care whatever situation the person's in, God can save them because of Jesus and his death on the cross and his shed blood. He sent the Lord Jesus to pay the price for our sin. Jesus took our punishment, shedding his blood on a cross. Now Jesus can reach right into whatever our Jericho is and save us. In Rahab's story, his shed blood is represented by the scarlet cord. In Egypt, if you remember at that first Passover, it was the blood on the doorposts. It's pictured all through the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, wonderful verse. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And now Jesus says, come to me. All can come to Jesus. Thirdly, let's look at Rahab's trust. She believed and put her faith in God. And she makes a great statement of faith. You'll find it referred to in verses 9 and 11 of our reading. It starts off in 9. I know that the Lord has given this land to you. But then a little bit further on in verse 11, here's the statement of faith. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. That's the faith she came to possess. Her faith was real, sufficient for her to risk her life by hiding the spies. And she was commended for her faith. You'll read it in Hebrews 11 and verse 31. She put her confidence in God and the scarlet cord, the emblem of Christ's blood and God's faithfulness. I use my imagination again a bit here. Once she had tied that cord in the window, I often think, I wonder how often she went to check it was still there, because that was her sure sign of safety. She trusted God for her family. At great risk, she goes to tell them of the spies she hid, of the deal she struck. I think I can picture it in my mind now. As Israel marched round Jericho, she was marching round to her family's houses, pleading with them to come to the one place of safety, the window with the scarlet cord. Well, the walls tumbled, the battle commenced, and you can picture them, can't you? All the family of Rahab huddling together in the house with the scarlet cord. Then the knock on the door. Rahab opens the door. It's the spies. Safety. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? Fourthly, Rahab's triumph. Rahab and her family are safe. She was the first convert in the promised land of Canaan. But we read in verse 23 of the second part of the reading that she is outside the camp. They put her outside the camp. But soon we find her amongst God's people. In verse 25 it says, she lives among the Israelites to this day. They put her outside the camp, but soon after, she's living among the Israelites. Rahab wanted to be among God's people, and God wants us to be among his people. It's wonderful that you're all here. Isn't it wonderful meeting with God's people? Now life is different. For Rahab, no longer a prostitute, part of God's people. Rahab marries a prince of Judah, and his name is Salmon. They have a son, and his name is Boaz. He's the one that marries Ruth in the book of Ruth. From their line will come King David and our Lord Jesus Christ. Rahab will be commended for her faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 31. Life is different when we come to Jesus. We are a new creation. You know it all. I'm sure many of you know it. 2 Corinthians 5:71, 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. We bear a new name, Christ's name. Just a few weeks after my daughter Claire got married, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we got a phone call. They're never good, are they? Phone calls in the middle of the night. And Michael, her husband, Claire's been rushed to hospital. Old church, that's gone now. And because they lived up in Romford. So, okay, we'll be there. We'll be there. Old church hospital. And so we're in the car and we're zooming up, wondering what nurse's going on, worried about Claire. And we pull into the car park at Old Church Hospital. And our surname, for those of you who don't know, by the way, is Trendle. And I said to Sue, as we got in there, I'll go and park the car, you go and find out where Claire is. So that's what happens. Sue goes into the hospital, finds out where Claire is, or at least tried to. I've parked the car, I'm coming. Sue's coming out of the hospital, I'm coming up. She said, we're at the wrong place, they haven't got a Claire Trendle. I mean, she's not a Claire Trendle anymore. She's a Barker. And of course she was there. We bear a new name. We're not the old person anymore. We're a new person. Jesus is our Saviour. We have a new life. It says you are not your own. You were bought at a price. The cross and his shed blood. Rahab's past did not define her future. And Jesus will do the same for us if we just give our life to him and put our trust in his death, his shed blood, and his resurrection. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful story of Rahab. Your Bible is full of wonderful stories, Lord. And every single one of them whispers your name. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we will experience what Rahab experienced. We will experience what dear Alison experienced, of knowing you, Lord Jesus, to be our Saviour. And know that one day we will spend eternity with you. We'll be able to talk to Rahab one day, Lord. Find out what really happened. And we'll be able to see Alison again. And all the others, Lord, that have gone before. That had their trust in you. So, Father, we just pray as we go out into this week, may we go out, Lord, in confidence, knowing that you're our Saviour, and that, Lord, we can live for you, and that now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. If you've not put your trust in Jesus, you can do it this morning. I'll be happy to chat to you. Shall we say the grace to one another? The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.